Greetings, and may the grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you. I'm the Reverend Lindsay Borden, and on behalf of the struggling but hope-filled people of the Second Presbyterian Church in the city of New York, I welcome any and all to part one of our stay-at-home worship podcast for Sunday, August 30th, the 22nd Sunday of Ordinary Time. I do want to note that next Sunday, September 6th, the whole church will be on break. So there will be no podcast, but I encourage you to explore the internet as there are many wonderful worship offerings out there. Then starting September 13th, we're going to be experimenting with some different ways of worshiping, so the recordings may be posted after Sunday rather than before. Please bear with us and keep checking in. But for now, let's begin our worship with prayer. Faithful God, you are the hope of all the oppressed and the source of freedom for those held captive. Open us now to your word, that through it we may bear witness to your liberating power in generosity of life and in humility of spirit, that all the world may delight in your healing and goodness. Amen. First today, we hear from the book of Exodus. Now, some of us are old enough to remember Charlton Heston in the Cecil B. DeMille Technicolor extravaganza, The Ten Commandments. David Lowe's writing some years back now said, "Don't be fooled by your dim recollections of Charlton Heston as Moses. This passage isn't about a timid exile's reverent first meeting with the God of his ancestors. Rather, this story is about a no-holds-barred encounter between a wily, even conniving outlaw and a God who's more than up to the challenge of transforming him into an instrument of salvation." Well, I don't know about you, but now I really want to hear this story. So let's listen for the word of God from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses!" And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." God said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. So ends the first reading. Next, to Matthew's Gospel. Mitzi J. Smith introduces her commentary on this passage by asking, how does a revolutionary leader prepare a colonized people for the death of their Messiah? For this is the first of several passages in Matthew where Jesus tells or tries to tell his disciples what lies in store for him and for them. Jesus will suffer and die because of the truth-telling, risk-taking life he has lived. It shouldn't surprise anyone that Jesus was killed. What does surprise us is that God raised Jesus from the dead. Because resurrection means, quite shockingly, that Jesus' life, love, and sacrifice are what will prevail in the end. Now, that may be hard to imagine, much less accept in our world today, ravaged as it is by pandemic, divisive ideologies, brute force, and racist violence. But amidst all this, Jesus invites us to lives of radical compassion and justice, hope embodied through love in action. Because what we get is more than we could ever lose. Now, as I read from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28, listen again for God's word to us today. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.